I know all of you out there, founders included, are wondering, how exactly do I get published in fancy publications? How do I get in Inc., Forbes, all these other ones? And then if you're like me, who publishes your own stuff and has been published, I personally look at all these things and wonder, how in the fuck did this guy get on the show? How did this guy get to write here? I don't know. There's no background. There's no history, no nothing. And it just sort of blows me away when I see the lack of really, really talented, experienced people out there. And I think that one of the things that they're missing is they don't understand how to actually get published. I don't think they understand what people are looking for in order to get on the platform. And there are services out there that could help them weed through that and actually manage and tell them, literally, this publication, you want to be in Forbes or Fortune or whatever, Fast Company, here's what they're looking for, here's how often, and we'll do all the work for you. And in fact, if you need a ghostwriter, need someone to help you shape your writing or whatever, you don't have time, we'll help you there too. And then, oh, by the way, we also have an inbound team that can help with inbound marketing, which is probably what you intended with your publication to begin with.
Wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. Play it, I hope though, you right. Got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Big he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of he move. Talking Scott Catoon.
I don't know anything about it, so I figured what I would do is I'd have Matt Camp on because he does know something about it. So
yeah, you sound pretty well versed. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I am on, like, the strategic, like, what I would want to do.
Right.
You know I know what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how the hell to do
strategy
it.
You're guy, you're like, hey, go do it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know how the hell to do it. So, like, we have spent many an hour, and this dates back, what, 4 years now that we've been talking
yeah,
since before Tomorrow's Business Today, before Technori.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this. I remember I was walking my dog locally when I had my first call with you. I remember
wow.
The corner. I was on Sheehan.
I know I made that big of an impact.
You
on
did.
Life,
I remember talking to you thinking, like, man, in the price at the point, the price point is still pretty much the same, but the price at the time mm-hmm. was like, I took a credit card round because everyone told me that this podcast was a terrible idea. Here we are now, not so terrible.
Yeah. Worked out.
But I couldn't afford it then. I was like, I'll just try to do it on my own. And I'll tell you the truth, as a person who does know, roughly speaking, how to do it, I still have a hard time. And so that's mm-hmm. why I thought having you come in to talk about how the process actually works and what the value is would be a huge opportunity for listeners, because you and your company really, I just think, do an incredible job of simplifying this down to, as you talk about, the knowledge bank,
uh-huh.
the place to collect and store information for a later date. And then on your end, you guys get to find out exactly who's looking for what. And do all the work that people like me either don't have time or just simply put don't know how to do.
Yeah, and then one, thank you so much for the kind words there. I appreciate that. Didn't pay me to say that. But.
Not a sponsor. I just want to make sure we know. No,
yeah.
Hashtag no sponsor. Hashtag wish they were
yeah,
a sponsor.
Right? Yeah, right. I owe you a drink. But hey.
We can take care of that later
fair.
Today.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Most people we talk to, they understand that they, just like you enunciated, I mean, they know they should be doing this stuff. It's not rocket science, but they either don't have the time to really focus on that because they're just so busy doing their own business, or you know, they don't have the relationships to build there, and they could go about doing that and be, you know, doing the outreach and following up and all of that, but it's one thing on your to-do list and you've got, you know, a million things there. And you know, much similar to the journey that you had of, hey, trying to do it yourself, and
yeah.
I'll start there. We've talked to so many people that, you know, 6 months later come back and they've been busy working on their business like that.
And this was my full-time job. I mean, this isn't a side gig for
that's
me.
True.
So like,
yeah.
This is my full-time
trying to
job.
Make excuses
with,
for you, but.
No, but like, this is my full-time job with people
yeah.
and I still couldn't, it just wasn't manageable.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't, it's one thing. And we do that. Like, it's one thing to write and post to my own site. That's fine. And distribution wise, that does help. Like, our following does help. People reach out. We've had Inc. reach out. You know, Entrepreneur has reached out and we've done like one off things with them. HuffPost mm-hmm. has done a few things. But mostly because we're a community, like we kind of have a community aspect, which is a little different than the average writer.
Right.
But even with that, when it comes to part of an inbound strategy, mm-hmm. or as you obviously know very well, like needing to have repetition and a good time cadence.
Yep. Consistency is huge. Yeah.
It's uh-huh. it's really hard to be able to manage all that. And not only that, but like to know what the publishing companies are looking to publish right now, and then have the ability to pull that out of my head right now when maybe 6 months ago I had an idea, but it's been a while.
Right. Yeah. And we definitely, I would say anything that we're talking about in terms of the actual content itself, it comes down to this really kind of thought leadership approach, which, you know, that's kind of a buzzword at this point that plenty of people throw out. But really, the goal is
not if there's strategy behind it.
Yeah, exactly. It's all focused on education. It's focused on using that knowledge and the lessons that only you have. And these publications, they are looking for great content from the people that are in the weeds and living it day to day and have those war stories.
Yep.
We every year we release a State of Digital Content report that is our publications team reaching out to the head editors we work with, and it's people like the Forbes and Inks and HBRs of the world that are getting back to us and saying, yeah, we I think last year 97% of these editors said that they are looking for more content from these guest contributed content from experts like this that are in it day to day. It's just it's got to be great stuff. It's got to be content that's truly unique. It's something that is backed up with data and is really supported that way. And that's our goal, is to help you tell that story in an authentic way that saves you a ton of time and in the end has strategy behind it, that hey, this is why I'm talking about this piece and this is why I'm talking about it in this publication.
It's interesting the way you said it, because like the thing that I always stumbled upon, and it was kind of a loophole that I was taking advantage of, was knowing that a lot of these content companies can't afford to continue to hire a whole staff of writers, and so it's like it makes it easier and cheaper for them to get content from the source or from the people.
Right.
But they did that early on, and you saw kind of a lull about 3 years ago of that like started happening, and then they started buttoning up a little bit because the content got to such a crappy point that it was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, right. It wasn't valuable.
It's got to be quality, yeah.
It's got to be quality. Sure. And then they realize that there's actually folks like, you and I and others that we've talked in the show who are bringing straight value, who they could not only capture our experiences, but they also knew that we're influencers within our own group. And mm-hmm. so by having me write a story and publish it with them, but then also share it on my LinkedIn, that's 3,000 or 4,000 new people that look to me for tech knowledge who now are going to go, yeah, maybe I'll check out Entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah, they're externally
validated. So it's strategic now. So like if you have a great background and you're a legit somebody,
yep,
you've got like they're the only barrier between you and publishing in a major publication is knowledge. Is like knowing how the process works,
mm-hmm.
and you guys know that,
right? Yeah, and I think anytime we approach those publications too, I mean, in the end, they're looking for really unique quality stuff that our goal is to think about the strategy, to understand what can you personally speak on that no one else can, and what can your company bring to the table that no one else can, and then look at that target audience for whatever publication we're looking at, and really doing a deep dive to understand what are those people engaging with, what are they commenting on, what are they sharing with their networks. Those are all metrics that matter to the publication, and in the end, I mean, you can argue all day on what's a vanity metric and whatnot, but still, that engagement is
vanity
super,
metrics are still important. Very valuable.
Yeah, I mean, they might be harder to measure and say what tangibly is this worth to us.
Well, that goes to the next conversation a little bit, because I've said this before, we've had partners and we've worked with Dose on video stuff, and I personally like it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not shitting on my friend Emerson at all here when I say this, and I've had people come to me and say they think it's a scam. And I've said to them, it's only a scam if you don't have a system behind it. If you don't have a strategy behind it, then yes, you are paying for content to go out to random people you do not know who are going to click like on it, maybe, and you have no way to shape it. But if you have a funnel build,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting a strategic message through your content to a million people on OMG Facts, and 20,000 of them are like, I would like to know more about tech, and the messaging is right, and the funnel is in place for them to like that, and then learn about Technori, and then follow up with other content that is also valuable, you've got them. And then you'll learn out who they are, and then it's not vanity anymore.
Right, yeah. And see, that
people don't know that.
Exactly, yeah. You have to think about that from the big picture.
So from your standpoint then, the big picture, the strategy, that's the part that I like about you guys, is there are plenty of ghostwriters. There mm-hmm. are plenty of companies that can they're not able to say this, but they pay all their way into publications.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of stuff. There's plenty of content marketing companies that claim whatever. There are very few that actually take what I think is a publisher's approach to funneling great content and then backing it up with a strategic marketing model, an inbound model.
Yep.
And you guys do that. So let's say we did the vanity deal. Let's just hypothetically say that I actually started using you guys finally and was getting stuff distributed to all the places that we want to go.
Uh-huh.
What do you think the value is back for me, and what would you recommend for me and anyone like me on the inbound side?
Yeah, and I think just to back up a little bit, on the publication side, I think you think through that in the right way. And that may even come from our background of, we're a ton of journalists, we're a ton of people who've come from that world. So we know, we can put ourselves in those shoes very, very easily. But on the the client side, I mean, anything we put into a publication, it's all editorial. It's not paid for. It's all truly great content. So it's not by any means a guarantee that, hey,
sure,
we're going to put this in this publication. This is how it's going to work. We have to
think
about it.
Which, by the way, is something people should pay attention to.
Yeah.
If somebody promises you that they're getting you in a certain thing, you should probably walk away.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
especially,
that's bad.
And today, too, like, publications are really cracking down on that because they should. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, that's
their, they're ruining their entire brand.
Yeah. So they, you know, so I completely agree with that approach of, you know, giving value first. And that's how we approach every publication relationship, is from their shoes and understanding what they're looking for from people like yourself that have a, you know, a message to share and something to get out there. From a client side, I would say that, you know, there's a couple different buckets of why companies work with us. In the end, you know, thought leadership, building your brand awareness, getting, you know, this, you know, this validity from getting published into publications, and that, you know, external validation of whenever we look up Scott or we look up whatever the company is, we're seeing all this content out there that, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. And, you know, that there's a value there, a little more qualitative than quantitative, but the goal there is to come into any, you know, business development conversation and know that that person across the table has been looking up information about you.
And they found you in Forbes.
Yep. So you're, yeah, exactly. So you're coming to the table at a much bigger advantage there.
Yep.
I think outside of that, we do have some people that it's much more quantitative around inbound. And, you know, for that, it's about how do you consistently get out there. And, you know, the goal is, if you do that, you know, over time, 5, 6, 7, 8 touch points with somebody, that's going to have a much deeper, you know, it's going to resonate at a much deeper level than the one occasional article you might get out there on your own, because you don't have a team, you know, behind you on that. So
I agree. I also think that, mm-hmm, one of the things that businesses overlook, and this is something that tech founders really should pay attention to, is you may not have a product in Detroit right now. I'm in Chicago, but you may not have a product yet to expand in Detroit.
Right.
And so we're not spending marketing bucks on Detroit, but people in Detroit read Entrepreneur and Forbes and Fortune and all the rest of them, and Harvard Business Review. Mm-hmm. And there's it's more than those. You guys are, what, 25,000 partners or something stupid?
Yeah, it's publications 1,500 now.
1,500 of those, but you got email things.
But if you,
things,
get, if you count all of that reach, yeah, then yeah, it's...
It's an insane number.
Yeah.
And so it's more than just the big publications. So what I'm getting at with this is, you know, what an inexpensive way for me to expand nationally. Mm-hmm. The existence of myself as a leader, the existence of my company and product and project I'm working on. So let's say 3 years ahead of time, for 3 years I've been published to publications and places where people from all across the country are reading and seeing my name and my company, my idea. When we do activate a campaign, you've got something to start with. People aren't going to, it's not strangers. So
right,
it's actually a really inexpensive way to expand into new markets without actually doing a targeted campaign.
Yeah, that market already for you. And I think you talking about that inbound funnel was a really key point that I want to kind of reiterate, is saying, you know, having that foundation back on your own site, that owned media piece to bring people back to find out more information. That's ideally a deeper dive into that subject on your own site. So it's
like a podcast.
Exactly. There you go. Like a podcast. Funny how that works. Yeah. So things like that, that are, you know, set up well, where it's like, hey, if you're reaching this specific audience on this specific publication, and then you have this specific call to action on your own side to bring them back to, they're naturally going to be wanting to dig deeper for that information.
Yep.
Like, having that strategy in place is key. And that's, you know, we really subscribe to the whole inbound methodology and that model of reaching strangers, you know, becoming friends with them by bringing them back to your site, have some call to action there. That's an excuse to build a long-term relationship with them and then turn them into, you know, potentially a customer, potentially an advocate, and, you know, whatever that end goal is.
I personally think, I mean, obviously I'm a huge fan, so I've got you here, you know, from St. Louis. So I appreciate you coming to take the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, you guys were so ahead of the curve, because, again, I mentioned this is not yesterday I met you. This is like, you know, we're talking a 4-year relationship at this point.
Been a while.
And we've got, you know, the influencer thing blew up since then.
Mm-hmm.
That was not really a thing then. It was a couple people here and there, but, like, it really wasn't. And the similar to influencer, but like the dose model of learning what works well, charting it, using analytics to clean up our stuff so that it is more apt to go viral, if you want to use that word, and using it to have pages that have a lot of followers, a lot of readers, and promoting things that match OMG Facts, things that match Dose Media, blah, blah, blah. You guys were really ahead of the curve on that. And I think that that's the reason that I'm such a big fan, is that I think for those people out there who think, quite honestly, I'm going to forget. I'm just going to say it's Ben Franklin. I don't know who the hell said this. Maybe it was Einstein. Einstein said it, because he's a smart guy. The number one thing is, stupid people are confident that they know everything, and smart people are confident that they know nothing. And I find that in influencers, there's a ton of bad influencers out there because they have the balls to just go, yeah, I'm Gary Vee. Not saying he doesn't know anything, but like he annoys me a little. I'm trying to get him on the show. So this didn't help. Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, I'm the guy. I know how to business. You know, you're a fucking loser or whatever he says to everybody and then tries to get him on it, like builds him back up again. You don't have to be that. You can be a very, like Chris Gladwin, you can be a very quiet, smart, well, you know, successful individual who has a ton to share and just write it.
Mm-hmm.
And share it everywhere, and you have just as much power as the, you know, the P.T. Barnum running around on TV.
Right. Yeah. I think in the end, it matters who your audience is and what they care about, and that's the main goal with anything that you're creating, whether it be you know, a more motivational, like, you know, the Gary Vee type, yeah, versus.
And get this straight, I do like Gary Vee. I want him on my show, but I still like. I think we'll you would respect part, yeah, the fact that I still knock him. I think people want someone to yell at him. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless of that, yeah, that approach, even
sidebar.
Really, in the end, where you're going to really truly build influence with people is understanding. You know, the it comes down to appealing to the person that's reading your article.
Give them value.
You know, yeah, it's giving that person value. It's giving them a reason to, you know, to go through this content and engage with you personally. And people do business with people, not with brands. So being able to show yourself, you know, really personify your brand, you know, your company brand, and make yourself very approachable and showcase your expertise through these articles. I mean, that's when you're going to build true influence, regardless of what your Instagram looks like.
Very cool. I appreciate you taking the time. Where do people go to learn more about your company, learn about you, start working with you guys?
Yeah, if you go to influenceandco.com, ANDCO.com, we actually just launched last week our website redesign. So it does a really, really good job saying.
It looks great, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll tell the graphic design team. But they did a really, really good job really showing everything we can do for companies from thought leadership to inbound content marketing, anything in that realm. So feel free to either reach out there or just matt@influenceandco.com for me directly. And, you know, would love to chat.
Very cool. And also, I think you should check out the blog. We actually look at the blog all the time for all the different stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're just trying to figure this kind of thing out, you don't know where you are on this thing, you don't have to be a huge company with a big marketing agency. Like, you don't need that. This is an easy way to get connected with stuff. So
yeah, we give away all of our secrets. Our marketing team is phenomenal in terms of really practicing what we preach and put it.
There's plenty of information out there for everyone. Absolutely. Yeah. Matt, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected. Following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori. Follow me @Katoon. Find me in all kinds of publications, hopefully soon. Boom. That's a wrap.